morning. Good to have everyone here this morning. We're so thankful for the Lord. We're going to get right started into today's message, dealing with the kingdom of God again. Let me just give some thoughts on the kingdom. When you start talking about the kingdom, I was just going over some things yesterday, again this morning, and I was just meditating on the things of God. When you talk about the kingdom or the end, because the kingdom, it represents the end, people fear. There's that part of us that we figure, why talk about it? Because I don't want to deal with that right now. So it's amazing they sang that song, you know, about fear. And, you know, in Timothy, it talks about, he says, I'm not giving you the spirit of fear. And last week I talked about you have to be empowered by Holy Spirit, because it's going to be two spirits that drive people. The spirit of fear doesn't drive you into the kingdom of God. It makes you avoid it. Some people won't even want to talk about it. They don't want to turn to the pages. Don't go to Revelations, right? We don't want to deal with that. There's a reason, fear. But we're talking about the reward that he gives all of us. Think about that. The reward he gives us. You've given your life. He talks about the song, talking about being born again. And you have a reward. It's a wonderful place. And so the reason people fear it, they don't know about it. They're not taught very well on the kingdom principles, how it operates in our life and what God has promised us. So you fear it. So what does he say? He says, I'm not giving you the spirit of fear. But how many of you know there's peace that comes with God? There's power, there's love, and a sound mind. In Ephesians in 6, he says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Master. Be strong in the Master. Who's our Master? Yeshua. Be strong in what he did. Be strong in what he paid for. Be strong in what he accomplished. If it was going to go on just our accomplishments, we wouldn't even need a Master. We could have just done it ourselves. But he knew that man had failed. So God sends his only son. He said, I'm going to raise up a prophet among your brethren. He told that to Moses. Isn't that amazing? And so I want you to be encouraged that you don't have to fear anything, but you're going to be led by something. You're either going to be led by the Spirit of God. Though as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. You start understanding that that the inheritance, you start understanding that you're part of the family. If you don't, how many of you have ever been, you married into a family and you never met the whole family yet? And you're going to go to a family reunion. And there's a sort of what happens, comes on a person who's never met them. Not sure, uncertainty. One translation's put that God didn't give you the spirit of timidity. So you feel that. You feel that. You should not feel that in the family of God. How many has ever felt that? You ever felt that, well, I don't know what to say. What am I going to say? How many has ever felt that way? You don't have to feel that way. You have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power. That word power is very important. Very important word, because that same word goes back to Acts, and you shall receive power. It's called dunamis. It's very powerful, and it's for our benefit. So we have been given the power to understand the kingdom. Every person here, you have been given power to understand the kingdom. Outside of that power, you're not going to understand the kingdom. So if I'm operating in fear, I'm in a sense saying, I don't want the power to help me understand, because you accepted fear. But he said, I'm not giving you that spirit. If he's not giving it, who's the giver of fear? Think about that. Who's the first one that tries to create in the mind of man that somehow God wasn't tending to their needs? The moment they felt that he wasn't, what comes rushing in? Without invitation comes rushing in, and it bombards every fiber of your being. Fear. Fear and faith cannot coexist. One will rule. One's going to rule. So ask yourself today, do I want to be bound by fear? Or I do. I want the power to understand that God, what God wants me to understand. And you shall receive power. Hopefully last Sunday, you got that. You got to have the power to understand it. And that power is not just something that's given to certain folks. It's for every person here. Every person. You don't have to be timid. You don't have to fear. But he's given you power, love, a sound mind. Nothing's worse than a mind that is just bombarded and trapped by fear. Because it goes all directions of uncertainty. Here's a person, let me give you some examples of people that don't realize they succumb to fear. When you look at a situation, what do you see in that situation? The worst? If that's the first thing that comes to your mind is trained to be timid. Your mind is trained to succumb to fear. Think about that. That's what it does, and you're constantly training your mind out of way. So if somebody gets in a vehicle and they're going to go take a ride, say, boy, I hope they don't die. And you don't realize that, but you constantly state that about a lot of things. You're training your mind to live in fear. With God's protection, if you understand God's protector, if you understand God's the source, different things come out of your mouth. Amen. Finally, brethren, let me show you how to be strong. Be strong in the Master, in the power of his might. Now, that word power is not dunamis. It's not exousia. It's kratos. It's a different power. It's what he has accomplished. So we got to be strong in the Master and what he's accomplished. And it also means dominion. Be strong in the Master because he's king. That's what he's trying to train our mind. And so God's way of authorizing his kingship is going to be through the Master. That's how we're going to first see it. We got to be ready to see that. What's going to first come? Is Yahweh going to come first, or is he going to send Yeshua? You understand? There's a path that he's drawn out for. We got to know that when it comes. He said, some will say he's over there, and some will say he's over there. He said, don't go. It's not about signs. It's about the fact that what the Word of God tells us. And so I hope that that's helped you. I was thinking about that this morning, and I was just listening to some things concerning fear, and they wound up singing this song. So isn't it amazing how God is good to us? Now, I backed up just a little bit. Why is the kingdom of Yahweh coming? I'm not going to go back over all the slides, but let me just show you why is the kingdom of Yahweh coming. There's got to be a reason for it. So let me just point this out fairly quick on why, and then we'll go from there. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve effectively rejected Elohim's rule over them through unbelief and disobedience. That's what happened. Instigated by Satan. He instigated it. They and all mankind thereafter unwittingly came under the rule of Satan. There's a rule that rules the world, and the rule of Satan is very prevalent today. So we say, didn't Christ come? He died and he rose again, so he's in charge. He's only in charge of those willing participants in their own individual lives, not as a world as a whole. Because how do we know that? Is there peace? Do we have peace around the world? There's no peace. There's no peace. Not even in Israel is there peace. And the stuff going on in Israel today, the stuff going on, I'm going to tell you, there's no peace there. There's a lot of things that's happening in the world today, but it's ruled by Satan. So I want you to understand that when Christ rules, it'll be peace. He's going to eradicate all the unpeaceful. Those who oppose him will be eradicated. So I want you to just keep that in mind. So where we left off is, does he identify who generally mankind's current father is, and that he influences them to carry out his desires? Now, this is something that's important, because Yeshua's going to tell us he identifies who he is. He identifies him. Now, we know he also talked about the man of sin later on. But he's showing us that there's an overall rule that's in the world today. The man of sin comes on the scene. It's for our, for us to reckon. He tells us so we can recognize where we are positionally in this thing. In an eschatology type of way, we kind of see the timing of everything. But we know right now there's opposing facts. We know the fact is that Yeshua, the Son of God, died for our sins. There's no doubt about that. We know that he was buried and rose again. That's what we believe. And we're trusting that by faith. We also know that Satan has taken some rulership. And so let's just take it from the words of Yeshua, what's happened, so we're not confused. Because in our world today, there are many who teach differently. They'll teach that the church needs to get with the program because Yeshua paid it in full. It's all paid for. And so we don't live in a fallen world no more. If we're not in a fallen world, why are people still dying? Why is there so much sin in the world? Why in your own individual life, our own life, that we fight battles constantly on a daily basis with opposing good and evil? It's still fallen. But as individuals, if we let the power of God reside in us, we can live the life of a believer. Does it work? You better believe it's work. Is it just going to come and we say, okay, we got it? No, you got to work at it. You got to work very hard at it. If you want anything in life, you got to work hard at it. Well, if you want to serve God, you can, but you got to work hard at it. So he knew it was going to be hard. So what does he say? You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you. Then the power to understand the kingdom of God has to be working in our life on a daily basis. In John 8, let's go at it again, look at this. We want to go as far as we can today. So hopefully we get a flow here where we're seeing this unfold. John 8, 37. I know, this is Yeshua speaking, that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word had no place in you. Notice what they wanted to kill him for. Because what he was saying, what was he talking about? The kingdom. He was telling them the truth. Remember our incident with Pilate. Pilate said, what is the truth? But the whole theme there is he's talking about the truth. Well, he don't quit that theme. He continues it. It goes on and on and throughout this whole series. He said, you seek to kill me because my word, when he say that word there, we're not talking about, we call this the word, right? This is what we call the word. But what he's saying here with the word is his message. We're talking about a very, very clear and specific message that Jesus is teaching. He said, my word has no place in you. Now watch verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. And you do that which you have seen with your father. There's two opposing things right there. They oppose each other. Now to rule something, there's got to be a domain. Now to teach that there is no fallen earth anymore. We're not in a fallen world. It's ludicrous. You understand that? Because these are opposing factors and the earth has not been redeemed yet. It will be. But it hadn't been redeemed. There's still a lot of corruption in the world today. You can take all the Christians in the world, and it's still, no matter how good we try to be, there's still opposing factors. And the reason is, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Let's go on. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Now notice this, Abraham is our father is a big statement here because you couldn't qualify to say that unless you were the chosen. You had to be the chosen. Who chose him? Yahweh chosen by God. Think about that. Chose them. And they say, Abraham's our father. Remember, Gentiles aren't saying that. He's not having a conversation with Gentiles. These are not pagans. These are the hand-picked by Yahweh people. And they're having this conversation. But what Jesus is trying to tell us, show us, that just because God picked you doesn't mean you picked God. And if you didn't pick God, then you're following a system. And that system is not the kingdom of God, it's the kingdom of Satan. That's the system. And so he's proven this point. He says, Yeshua said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Verse 40, but now ye seek to kill me, a man. What did he call himself? A man, because that's what he was. He was from the seed of Abraham, raised up amongst the brothers. He told that to Moses. He said there'll be a stem, a root of Jesse that would come up. That bloodline kept going, constantly kept flowing all the way. If you want to read it for yourself, read Matthew's genealogy. It's absolutely wonderful. Man hath a man that had told you the truth. Where did we see that before? In the Pilate incident. What is he talking about? Pilate says, are you a king? Are you getting this? Yeshua is talking about a king in a kingdom. He's come to reveal that message. Yet not nearly enough is this being preached in the churches around the world. Simply because of fear. What are we afraid of? It just seems, wow, is this going to happen? Think about this. And so he says, because you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth. I didn't come here and kind of take your Mishnah and go through your traditions and kind of, you know, smooth it over, and finally we get here. Because what did they get caught up in? They got caught up in the blood of bulls and goats and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, once they're doing this, Yeshua shows up and said, that's all going to go away. Your traditional things will go away. I'm going to be the sacrifice, the supreme sacrifice. But look at what he says, which I have heard of Elohim. So he knew the message. How did he get the message? From the Word. He got the message. He read the scripture. He read the Torah. He understood that. He understood what the prophets were saying. He understood the writings. He got the message. He heard them from Elohim. Think about that. So he was able to take that. People think, well, because he's the Son of God, somehow he had inside information. So, of course, he could do what he'd done. He had inside information. There's not one time in Scripture where we find where Yeshua had inside information. He had the same information everybody else had. The difference is he believed it. He believed what the Father said, and he trusted it with his life. He believed it. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Notice what he's saying. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even Yahweh. Notice their argument. They're claiming Yahweh to be their father. Now you can do that. I mean, there's a lot of churches around the world who claim Yahweh to be their father. Well, there's a qualifier, right? What's the qualifier? Yeshua said unto them, if Yahweh were your father, you would love me. Wow. If Yahweh were your father, you would love me, because it tells about me. He said, for I proceeded forth and came from Elohim, neither came I myself, but he sent me. Think about that. And how powerful that is. He's saying his existence was solely because of Yahweh. I didn't exist in myself. Not a co-equal, co-eternal. Do you understand that? I mean, I don't know how we don't get that. I'm here because of him. If you're here because of somebody, that means you're not co-equal. You don't claim co-equal. You don't claim co-eternal. All you're doing is claiming the fact that you've been sent by God. Think about that. These are powerful statements that he's unfolding for our benefit, because he's trying to show us that the enemy is not for you. He's against you. We are in a fallen system. Verse 43. Why do ye not understand my speech? Again, we have a reference to word. We have a reference to truth. We have a reference to speech. This is why. You can't understand my speech, or the I'm talking in what? Kingdom terminology. That's my speech. I'm talking in kingdom terminology. You know, in Louisiana, we have a lot of speeches that we don't have to give details about what we're talking about. Just the way our speech is, people that we talk to every day know what we're talking about. We don't have to be as detailed about it because we talk in a certain speech. We have a certain speech about us that folks that never heard that before, they kind of look around and go, what are they talking about? Right? So if I say, hey, Jake, you went on the bayou yesterday? Yep. You got him? Now, everybody else in the room's got what? What are you talking about? He knew exactly what I was talking about. Because we talk in a speech that's understood between us. And families have certain speeches that they're talking. This is what he's referencing. He says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. Because you don't want the message. The message that I'm preaching and what I'm trying to tell you, you don't want to hear it. And what was that message? It was all about the kingdom. They couldn't hear his word. Now, there's not just the fact that they didn't want it. They didn't have ears to hear. They didn't have eyes to see. They didn't have a mind to understand. Because if they would have, they would have repented. Now, how many want eyes to see? How many want ears to hear? How many want a mind to know? If we want that, we got to make sure that we don't resist the Spirit. Because the Spirit, the only one can produce. Remember in Revelations, he that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Wow. See, we want to get this, but we can't get it on our own, in our own hearing. We got to change our hearing. And so they couldn't change it because they were stuck in what? Tradition. The tradition. The missionary didn't say we need to do that. Well, Yeshua said, well, listen, I'm not here about your tradition. I'm here to tell you directly. We can't do that. And that was a tough spot because you changed the order. And it was tough for folks. Verse 44. You are of your father, the devil. So he kind of just throws it out there. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. You will do it. Now he tells us about him a little bit. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth. What was his resistance? I'm trying to highlight these parts because I went back over this and I didn't have this highlighted yet, like last Sunday. But I went back over it because I know it's, you know, I got to continue. And I highlighted that middle part because that right there got, I went, oh, are you kidding me? Again, what did Satan resist at the beginning? A kingdom. I'll build my throne above yours. I don't want to be in this kingdom. I want my own. He was a murderer from the beginning. Where are we now? At the what? We're at the beginning. Now, we in John, but he took us back to the beginning. And abode not in the truth. What is that word, truth? He abode not in the system that God set up. Remember, because this is what Yeshua is preaching. He's preaching about the truth. He says, primarily, I came into the world for this very reason, dealing with the kingdom. And so he tells Pilate, I'm going to teach the truth. Pilate said, what is truth? I mean, they saying this, they saying that. Listen, we're not talking about comparing comments from people. We're dealing with the message. The Lord's message was one message. And that message was about the kingdom. Notice that. The message was about the kingdom. Because if you don't see the prize, he can die, be buried, and rise again. And if you don't understand that there's a prize, you'll play around with this. In and out, wishy-washy, can't make my mind up. Well, he died for me, yeah, and that was good. He's a good person. He becomes a good person to you, but never your master. If you understand the prize, you're going to give up the fact that you're going to live in peace and harmony, no more death, no more tears, no more sorrow. I don't know about you, but I want to sign up for a little bit of that. That stuff sounds good to me. Because you get tired of everything that goes on in the world. But let me tell you why it's difficult if things are going good for you. Don't mean you can't make it, but when things are going good for you, you lose sight of what's happening in the world. You're just glad you're not in it. Because in your world, everything's going good. But it's through difficulty that we get the message. And so don't be surprised that there'll be a time in your life that you might go through difficulty. And that's just a way for us to stop and think about the real reason we're here. We're just journeying. It's just a small time in our life. Very small time in your life. You're going through this journey. You're on a road, a path. But this is just a path that you'll journey through. But ultimately, the end game, at the end, he's talking about a new heaven and a new earth. For the old things are going to pass. But he said, this is going to be something that'll last. And we're talking about the master ruling and reigning, and then God himself come. And that's forever and ever and ever and ever. That's the prize. That's what Paul said. I press toward the mark. There's a mark. I can't see it. I know you don't understand, but I was reading just the other day. I was reading Paul, and he says, these momentary things that I'm going through, he called them momentary. He said, when I think about what the prize is, the hope is, this is nothing in comparison when you compare the two. When you ever took your worst day? Think about your worst day. Maybe you lost someone you love. You can't understand why this happened and why this happened to me, why this was different. Think about the worst day in your life. And put eternity in this side and weigh them against each other. Weigh it against eternity. And you realize, wow, wasn't that bad. Did it hurt? You better believe it. More hurt than I've ever felt in my life. Mm-hmm. Was it difficulty? I've never been through nothing harder. But when I compare it to eternity, the problem in the church today, they're not comparing it to eternity. They're comparing it to the best song they've heard, the best preaching they heard, the next time they get a blessing, the feel-good moment they get from socially gathering in the church. They compare it to all those things. It's all temporary. We're talking about eternal stuff versus temporary stuff. There's no comparison. None whatsoever. When I stop and I think about the goodness of God, you think about what he's prepared for us. And I saw New Jerusalem coming from heaven. And it came down. John, this is John. I saw New Jerusalem come down out of heaven. I don't know if people get out of heaven very clear. I saw it come. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the footprint? There was no more sea. All restored. You ever read Genesis and you're reading about the Garden of Eden and all the plants and animals, the harmony? And then all of a sudden something goes really bad with it. Something really bad goes wrong. And yet God's trying to tell us about a paradise, this garden of God, that he's going to recreate for our benefit. And we're not seeing it. We want to see it with everything that's in us. Amen? And let me get back to you. And he was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. So how much we should believe in the devil? I was trying to get you. We don't believe anything he says, right? Nothing. Because there's no truth in him. When he speaks, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He is a liar and the father of it. So they don't believe anything he says. He lies. Satan claims to be able to give Messiah all the kingdoms of the world, which he could not do unless he owned them. Right? Can you give what you don't own? No. Messiah did not deny this. In fact, Satan holds the whole world in bondage, though few realize it. And I can tell you, not everybody realized. I was sharing this with Pastor Josh this morning. You see people say things, they don't realize it. Like, once I get saved, I'm free. I'm no longer in bondage, and we're not even in a fallen world anymore. Hello? You want to be reminded of how fallen the world is? Turn the news on. Fighting each other. Sounds like iron and clay to me. Together but not together. They won't blend, but you can still form it. It's weak. It's frail. And he's letting you know. All them kingdoms, the bottom feet got to support all of that weight. It ain't going to take much. And what happens? The rock of offense comes and obliterates it. I'm glad I know the rock. I'm glad that I've been introduced to the Messiah, the Master. Be strong in the Master. Be strong in the Master, in the power of his might, in the dominion that he's in the dominion state now. Where is he at? Right hand of the Father. He's not in the seat of the Father. He's not on the throne of the Father. Do you understand that he's at his right hand? I mean, we got to just read Revelation. He said, I see one throne. There was one. And I seen a lamb, like he's describing it, like the Son of Man. And there he is. So this whole picture that he sees is absolutely fascinating, and he's telling us about this. Think about it. Matthew 4, verse number 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms, excuse me, of the world and the glory of them. Showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said unto him, this is Satan speaking, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. What was he seeking? Still, he wanted to be worshipped. He's succeeding at an alarming rate in the world as he occupies. There's a lot of people who worshiping at his feet. Think about that. You either a participant in that or you disagree with that. I'm not going to worship at his feet. But every time we commit iniquities against the rule of God, that's a worship at his feet. Think we can get better? You think we ought to push ourselves to be better? Because next time it happens, think about it. We're worshiping at his feet. Every time. We need to, and see, this is what he's saying. Be better at it. I know it's appealing. If you're going to make it in the industry, what happens? How they promote the industry for you to make it? Worship at Satan's feet. Sell out. It's all over, people. That's what they do. They sell out. And they give themselves over so they can be in. Why do they do that? To receive power. They want to be empowered. Because you only go so far in your power, but you need power. And so they'll be induced with this power. But God says, if you want power, I'll give you power. How many want the power of the Holy Spirit? Yes. You can say, it's not like we don't get no power. The church is weak, it's frail, can't do anything. You can have power to serve God. You can have authority. He talks about dunamis, which is explosive power, is where we get the word dynamite from. And then he talks about exousia, and that's an authoritative power. It means it's delegated. You give somebody charge. So if you have a business, you running that business, and you hire somebody to be your manager, they're going to be your manager. And so you're going to put manager Josh. He's the manager of the business. So the owner leaves. The owner's gone. He's gone on a long journey. But the manager's in charge. So when the guys that he's under him come and say, you know, what are we to do? And the manager says, you do this, this, and we ain't doing that. The owner didn't tell us. They don't want the exousia to have any charge over them. I mean, you know that the same thing that happens with us. We know that Christ is gone, but there's somebody that's in management. Remember I told you a couple weeks ago, don't be in management. We got somebody in management. We don't want his spot. We just want to be obedient to him. And so what do you have? You have been given authority. Authority over the devil. Authority over sickness. Authority over disease. Authority over the difficulties of this world. You have authority over it. Well, why is it still operating in my life? Why is it still there? You got to exercise authority. You have to. Now, I know situations seem to be very difficult sometimes. Years ago, I talked about the authority of the believer, and I gave an example of this, and I can't remember. It's been a long time, but it's like a policeman. The policeman gets in the road, and he's standing there in the highway on the white line, and he puts his hand up like that, and there's a 6,000-pound SUV coming his way. Now, he's got to be out of his mind if he thinks he's 200 pounds. If he thinks he can stop 6,000 pounds coming at 60 miles an hour. But he gets out in the road anyway. Now, it looks like he's going to lose, doesn't it? He's going to lose. And sometimes you got a 6,000-pound situation in your life coming full speed at you. But people who operate by the Spirit, who operate with his kingdom principles, they step out in the road. They don't go around it. They don't try to say, Lord, take it from, oh God, take it from me, Lord. Well, the Lord don't want it either. So he ain't taking it from you. You got to just get rid of it. You got to exercise the authority that you have. You exercise it. What do? You step out in the road by faith. And you hold your hand up. And when the person driving sees it's a policeman, what do? They start putting the brakes on. They put brakes on because somebody authorized that man to stop you. And you don't stop, you're going to be in trouble. Sometimes in life, you got to serve notice on the devil. He might be 6,000 pounds headed your way. You do this. Fear's got to go. I'm not going to operate in fear. And you didn't get that from God. I've not given you the spirit of timidity. I didn't give you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. What do? You step out in the road and you go, we're not having that today. Today, we're going to be in victory. Today, we're going to be singing songs of praise. Today, we're going to shout joyful melodies. We're going to give praise to God. Take authority. That's called exousia. Make sure, and it's why do you know it's been delegated to you? And you shall receive power, dunamis, after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Then he sends them out two by two, and he says, you have the power. I'm authorizing you. I'm giving you exousia. I'm giving you the authorization. You go out, and the devils will bow to the things you say. You can cast out devils, heal the sick. You understand my point? So we don't exercise that. We need to. We exercise it. Things will go a lot better for us. Again, the devil taking them up, said, if you'll do all these things, fall down and worship me. And what does he reply? Then Yeshua said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship Yahweh, thy Elohim, and him only shall thou serve. Period. As simple as that. I've been given commandments from my Father. I'm going to do what he says. Because right then and there, he could have bowed down and it had been over. And the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. How many see that? In the world, in the whole creation awaiting, is the whole creation awaiting the kingdom of Yahweh and the children of Elohim? Let's see. Romans 8. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For, we're talking about the world, is the whole world waiting and expecting this. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of Elohim. There should be a groaning. Our groaning should be because we're waiting. We're waiting for that. We're expecting it. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. I mean, thank God for that. The creature will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of Elohim. We come out of corruption into glorious liberty of the children of Elohim. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. I highlighted that this morning too. Which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Think about that. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to win the redemption of our body. So there's going to be this groaning, this hunger, this desire for the kingdom of God. Now, let me tell you, there's the trap that's set. The trap is set. Well, it's not so bad today. Today's not so bad. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. It's not so bad this week. Maybe next month. It's not so bad. You know, things are starting to look up. Things are starting to get better. And we get sucked into that. We get sucked in. It's looking better. It's looking pretty good. It's not so bad. You know, I know there's evil in the world, but you know, I live over here. I'm not really into evil. You ever thought about the ones that are in the evil, faced with it every day? Who wants to live in that type of kingdom? Do you understand that the goal that God has set for us is higher than we set for ourselves? He don't want to see nobody suffer. Nobody. He don't want nobody to suffer. Now, sometimes, listen, if we allow ourselves to get past ourselves, because if you're suffering, it's hard to see anybody suffer. Because I ain't got no time for people. I'm full. My schedule's full just taking care of me. I don't have time for people. I don't have time to worry about people, think about people, think about the starving, and think about those that are hungry, think about the sick. Think about all the devastation in the world. Who's got time for all that? I'm busy with me. Let me tell you who's got time. God does. He thinks about everybody. And don't forget, his son died for everybody. So that starving child in a third world country died for him too. Hadn't eaten a meal in a month. Let's not forget, we get hungry. You're about hungry now. I'm starving. You never starved a day in your life. You might be hungry. You're a habit eater. You're a habit eater. I'm a habit eater. My wife shouts amen on some things, but not all things. But think about... Think. Let me stay over here. Folks, they're ready to receive. But you think about people that's hurting. He thinks about everybody. Sometimes we get real tunnel vision. We don't think about that. We're so busy just trying to make it ourselves. What do people expect from me? I'm full. I don't have no time. And we get our world gets real small. But what I'm reading to you is this whole perspective. He's thinking about the entirety of the world. He's thinking about all the people that ever lived. There's some people that's died not receiving the promise. What do we do about them folks? What about those folks who died not receiving the promise? Is it over for them? What about when we die? Just say the Lord tarries and we die. Is it over for us? Is it finished? Died not receiving the promise. Remember that. I don't know what people don't get about that, but if you die and he says you didn't receive the promise, I believe what he says. You died and didn't receive the promise. Not you died, but you did receive it, but didn't receive it. Because heaven's the promise to 99.9%. When the Bible says that it's not. And I don't know what part of that we can't read. But he's talking about a kingdom that will be a king in that kingdom. In order for those folks who died not receiving it, somebody got to bring them back. So when Christ returns, he said, the first thing when the trumpet blows, the dead will raise. Wow. I know that's so simple, but yet it's so hard to get that most folks don't get it still today. Because let me tell you, ain't nobody ever wants to know that you died and now you got to wait. Nobody. We don't want to wait for nothing. Listen, we don't want to wait to warm our food so we get a microwave. And then we get the microwave, we don't want to wait for the microwave. We're right there by the door. Man, this thing used to do it. This thing used to heat up. We need to get another one of these. It used to take only a minute. Now it takes 3 minutes. We don't want to wait for anything. Think about that. For we know that the whole creation groaneth in travail in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. So we get the first fruits of the... Why do we need the Spirit? Because it's what he tells us we need. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. Waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. Moses, sent by Yahweh to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, freeing them from bondage to Pharaoh, was a type of Messiah being sent by the Father to free mankind from Satan's bondage. Acts 7, when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of Yahweh came unto him, saying, I am the Elohim of thy fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said Yahweh to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Notice this. I have seen the afflictions of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groanings, and I'm come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. Now, this is being, again, they're referencing what actually happened in the Torah. But he's telling us again about it again. Now, think about how he says this. And Moses, whom they refute, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did Elohim send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. Now, I know there's a conflict right here. Let me deal with it real quick. Yahweh speaks to him from the bush in the beginning of this reading. The Elohim of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Did I not read that to you? And then it says, this Moses whom you refused, they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did Elohim send to be ruler and a deliverer by the hands of an angel which appeared to him in the bush. So it says that he's looking at the bush and he don't even want to look because Elohim's speaking to him through the angel in the bush. Now, let me just tell you, this is called the angel of the Lord, or and understand this, you have to understand that in order for God, Yahweh, to do it himself, it's not ready yet. I'm not ready. You're not ready. We're not ready. The world's not ready. Okay? Moses wasn't ready. Do you understand that? So there's got to be somebody who goes and represents. In this instance, he picked an angel that was designed to do that. But he spoke only what God says, therefore, if I say, if I'm running a company and I invite different businesses to come over, I got different businesses that's coming over. We're going to have a meeting. And I look around the room. I says, is Moat's lease here? Well, I'm not looking for a boat. I'm looking for a representative that's got Moat's lease on their shirt. And then somebody would say, yes, Connie's here. You get my point? She represents this group, this entity, but she's representing that. Listen, when God, the voice of the bush came out, Moses knew he was listening to Yahweh, and the voice was coming to him. He knew who he was talking to, but he describes that because this is how it worked in the scripture. Did it all the time. So understand how valuable this is. He says, which the angel which appeared to him in the bush. Now, do we believe that God is an angel? Do we believe Jesus is an angel? The Bible says he made him a little lower than the angels, but then he crowned him. Do you understand that? Now he's above the angels. Can you be made in a certain way but be promoted to a different spot? Well, absolutely you can. Just like you and I, we're made lower than the angels, but the promotion he wants to give you is valuable to us. He brought them out after that. He showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall Yahweh, your Elohim, raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear. Notice that. He said to Moses, a prophet shall he raise up, speaking of Yeshua. You shall hear him. This will happen dramatically and universally in the inauguration of the kingdom of Yahweh. Part of the Yom Teruah feast that's coming up. Yom Teruah is the inauguration. The trumpet sounds for various reasons. But we have to inaugurate the king. So you can call somebody king, but the inauguration has never happened yet. That's why people say, well, it's already, the kingdom's already here. We're in it. And so they say, well, who's the king? Well, Yeshua is the king. I want to ask you a question. Has he been inaugurated? Because if he has, show me. Show me where it happened. It's going to be a day that it happens, but it hadn't happened yet. It's just like the church is the bride. We're the bride of Christ. How many has ever heard that? You're the bride of Christ. So we, in a sense, we have to prepare ourselves as a bride. But I want to know when the wedding took place. When did it take place? Show me where it took place. It never happened yet. You're espoused. You're engaged. That's why he said, don't treat your engagement with respect. Don't prostitute yourself. Because you're promised to somebody. He's coming back and he's going to take the bride. Do you understand that? Valuable. But people want to say, yeah, we got it all. It's done already. It's done in the promises of God. They're yea and amen. It is done. But for us, it hadn't happened altogether yet. It hadn't come completely and fully done yet. Just like that. Let me tell you, if you step out in front of a car and it run over you, you're going to be dead. There's a good, don't practice that now, but you'll find out you're not immortal. You'll find that out quick like. Now, it doesn't mean you're not saved. You are saved. Do you understand that? But you're still going to die. How many of you have ever seen that happen in real life? I have. I've seen it happen in real life. Good people saved, they die. The promise is the resurrection. And if he didn't need a resurrection, why put it in there? Why promise something you don't need? It's going through motions that we don't need. So hopefully you get this. Amen? You'll see it. This has resulted in horrendous suffering for all mankind. Wars, famine, disease, pestilence, death, to name but a few. And this will increase dramatically as the return of Messiah approaches. That's exactly what's happening. This is increasing, not decreasing. If we lived in a kingdom ruled by Yeshua, this would be decreasing. This would be going away. Especially if you've been serving God for a long time, you probably, at the end of, there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more nothing. It's going to increase. And that's exactly what's happening around the world. This stuff is increasing. There's more wars, famines, disease, pestilence, death, and this is increasing dramatically as it gets closer. Matthew 24, and Yeshua went out, departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple, and Yeshua said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" So they asked a series of questions here, and they really want to know. And Yeshua answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Now, why would he use that as his opening to answer these questions? Take heed that no man deceive you. Because there's going to be a lot of takes on this. A lot of takes, a lot of twists, a lot of ideas. But listen, we're just going to take him at his word. Okay, at what he says. Take heed that no man deceive you, pertaining to what? Pertaining to answering these questions. Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Yeshua answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many, not a few, many shall come in my name saying." What does that mean, in my name? Same thing with Paul meant. He says, there's another gospel which is not another. In Galatians, he talked about another gospel. Then he says, which is not another. Okay, is it another gospel or it's not another? Right? Because we want English here, right? Which is another gospel, which is not another. So he's telling you the gospel that they're preaching is still in his name, but it's the wrong gospel. It's in his name. So you can do things in the name of Jesus. So you say, man, you judge a character, the church, right? You're judging the character. So, man, it's got to be right. It's all in Jesus. Think about that. So let's see what he says. "For many shall say, come in my name, saying, I am Messiah, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." So how many organizations and people that started churches put dates? He's going to come back like he was supposed to come back in the 70s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. At some point, you're probably going to hit it. You keep predicting every year, right? Be like a weatherman. It might rain the next night. I told y'all. You know what I'm reminded of? You see the hurricanes out there? And they call it the spaghetti models or whatever. It looked like they drop spaghettis just out your hand, you know? And they're going in every direction. I could do that. I didn't go to school one day for meteorology, but I could do that. It's just, one of them's right. Put fear in everybody. You don't want one state. We want all the states to be in fear. It could come your way. Well, that's just like exactly what people do with the kingdom. They do that with the message. It's one of them. Do you see Yeshua do that? He don't do that. There's only one way. And he puts it where he wants it. And it's not a bunch of them. He don't do that. He don't say there's a bunch of different ways. He says, "Many shall come in my name and shall say I'm Messiah and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you do not, that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet." Not yet. "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom." Kingdom against kingdom has to happen because you can't get iron and clay. Means they're together but not together. Okay, kingdom against kingdom. We got these kingdoms. There's the feet. Remember the iron of the legs of iron, but then the feet is a mixture of iron and clay. We got that mixture, the 10 toes. All of that is significant. Where are we? Listen, if I tell you in eschatology where we are, And we took the design of this image that Nebuchadnezzar sees. And we started at the top. We got the golden head. And then we got the silver. And all those kingdoms have happened. It's all in the past. That's history. But then we're talking about future. And we're down at the man's feet and his 10 toes. How many think if I show you that's where we are, we ought to just come alive and wake up because it's near? What's after the toes? You see my point? So I don't know how close we got to get for people to get energized. If you're at the tip of the toes, you better get energized. I don't know what else to say. We got to get some energy here. We serving a God that's everything from the, if you, now watch the pattern, right? There's this pattern. He predicted the gold. Did it happen? Yes. Did he predict the silver? Yes. Did he predict the bronze? Yes. The iron? Yes. All of that he predicted was exactly what he said. If you think somehow now, because we done got so smart that he predicted the toes and it's not going to happen, it's going to happen. And he tells us when. The nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Wow. So he gets you there, backs you up. Gets you there, backs you up. The end is not yet. You'll see it, but not yet. Then he said, these are the beginnings of sorrow. The beginnings. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I want to know who they lifting up to be killed. Because we gone. Remember that. So it says. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you and shall hate all nations, be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall be betray one another and shall hate one another. Wow. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Why does the love of many wax cold? Iniquity abounds. You think that's happening in the world today? All around us. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. So what's the qualifications to be saved? You got to endure to the end, because if you're going to use the word endure, there's got to be something to endure. Right? There's got to be something to endure if you're going to endure to the end. Verse 14, and this good news of the... That's there. Did I put the right verse there? This good news of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. What's got to be preached in all the world before we get then the end shall come? Now, you notice that that's not what's said. There'll be wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and famines. Look at the earthquakes. He's coming. No, that's the beginning of sorrows. The kingdom comes when it's preached in all the world. Then the end comes. So you think our message needs to make sure we get our message right? Who's the speaker? We're just trying to follow what he says. This is what his words are. These are not my words. These are his words. It will get so bad that all mankind is in danger of being wiped out unless Yahweh intervenes to put an end to it. See, the moment I use that statement, what comes? Spirit of fear. So we avoid it. We don't want to look at the reality of it. But we don't operate in the spirit of fear. Because if we did, we avoid scripture. We operate by the spirit of God. I'm not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We don't operate in the spirit of fear because we avoid scripture. We avoid the things that, man, I don't want that. I don't want that to happen. What's going to happen with my family? What's going to happen with my kids? What's going to happen? It's going to be a tough time, but the end comes immediately after that. Matthew 24, 21. Then shall be great tribulation. He's going to continue. Such as not was since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. So is there going to be flesh to be saved still? Yes. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. The elect's sake. Thank God for being the elect. But thankfully, Yahweh Elohim is merciful. He's merciful. Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But Yahweh, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. How many thank God he loved us? Why? Because he's rich in mercy. If it wouldn't be for mercy, we'd all be in trouble today. The reason we're able to be here, because we made mistakes. We faltered and failed. We've been told not to do it and did it anyway. But thank God for his mercy, the riches of his mercy. Not just mercy, the riches of his mercy. And for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Messiah, by grace are ye saved, and had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua. Thank God, thank God, thank God. That in the age to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Messiah Yeshua. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of Yahweh. I mean, thank God for that. The gift of Yahweh. Because, there's a tendency sometimes to think we've done things. We've accomplished things. We succeeded in things. And before we know it, we start giving ourselves applause, accolades, pins. And we're decorated soldiers in the Lord. What about what he did? What about it's the gift of Yahweh? The only reason I am what I am because of the gift of Yahweh. He gave it all to me. He gave me a new life, a new chance, a new start. I couldn't take my own sins away. He had to do it for me. I couldn't get the stain out. Anybody ever try to deal with a stain? You bought all the products like they show on TV. You say, oh, this will get it out right here. You know, you ever seen the commercials? They don't know my stain. They have no idea. That thing been there for a long time. You can't get it out. Your friend can't get it out. The TV can't get it out. The products can't get it out. But when Yahweh comes and he can get it out. How many understand that? That's the good thing about God. It's the gift of Yahweh. Thank you, Lord. Our Elohim sends his Messiah son, Yeshua, to put an end to Satan's rule and man's disobedience and to usher in a new world government run according to Yahweh's laws, love, nature, so save mankind and to release us from Satan's bondage and deception. How many of you know that's going to happen? Satan, when Yeshua's king, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. You won't be tempted by him, none of that. The only other thing is what you'll be around is other people. So you won't have an outside influence like you have now influencing you to do wrong. Because people say, well, I do what I want. Nobody influences me. Trust me, you're being influenced. Entertainment, sports, you name it, all of it's built to influence you to do wrong. Never right. Wrong. And we sign our lives up to that stuff. Do you understand that? We do. That's what we do. Well, church shouldn't influence you to do wrong. Think we need to work on it? We need to work on it. Does the Bible influence you to do wrong? You see what I'm saying? We got to work on these things. And so Satan's bound in bondage. We free from his bondage and deception. In Matthew 19, verse 28, it says, and Yeshua said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. Now notice that. In the throne of his glory, you also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Where's the throne of his glory located? In Jerusalem, in the city of David, is there, is where it's located. Very important that we understand that. Revelation 20, verse number 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Think about that vision. I saw an angel come down from heaven. Where did he come from? Heaven. And he went up, sideways, or down? Down. Having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. I want you to think about that. 1,000 years on this earth, with Yeshua as king, he rules everything and no Satan. I'm just wondering what you think it's going to turn out to be after the 1,000 years. Okay? We live in a fallen world, yet we have all sorts of wonderful things that's happened. We went from horse and buggy just a couple hundred years ago to boats with sails in a short period of time to where we are today. Nuclear-powered submarines, ships with high-speed planes, trains. Do you get my point? In a fallen world. I'm just wondering what it's going to be like after 1,000 years with Yeshua in charge. I'm just wondering. Now you got to ask yourself, do I want to live in that world? Do I want to live in that world? The only way you get there is to follow his message. That's the only way. You can't get in that kingdom by accident. You got to follow his message. So if you die before that time comes, the dead in Christ will raise first. You got your ticket to be there in that kingdom. Isn't that amazing? That's why you got to be brought back from death into life, from mortality into immortality. You have to be brought back. If you already immortal, why bring you back? You're already there. If heaven's the final destination, and the father comes and says, okay, son, go get them. Blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. The trumpet of God blows. The shofar sounds a lot. And you there, I ain't going back there. That's a terrible place. I like it here. You see the dilemma? There's no such a thing. We just read wrong. We understood something that is crazy. Cast him to the bottomless pit, shut the door, and set a seal on him. He should not deceive the nation no more till 1,000 years be fulfilled. And after that, after the 1,000 years, it's going to be wonderful. He must be loosed for a little season. Now, that right there is a little troubling to me. A little season. He's loosed for a little season. But let me tell you, we're talking about Satan here. Give him a little season. It's a mess after he's finished. He'll be loose for a little season. You think maybe we got to keep it right? Keep it strong? That he's telling us, I'm going to warn you, no matter how good it can be, when he's loose for a little season, you stay strong, stay firm. Because there's still going to be a resistance that's going to try everything they can, because then the wrath of God comes next. That's the tribulation period and all that. That's not the wrath of God. When the wrath of God comes, do you understand that? It's going to be something. So the Antichrist and the false prophet is not the devil. Okay? The devil's the one that controls them. They're already gone. When Christ comes, he destroys the Antichrist and the false prophet. They're gone. History, gone, over with. But the devil is what we're dealing with. He's the author. He's that, remember that, the opposing factor. He's got to be dealt with. The wicked will be subdued, all in righteousness and peace will abound. In Isaiah 11, this is, oh, we closing now. I'll read this next Sunday. This will be a good spot to start. Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. Great spot to start. So anyway, this series, because it's an extension of the Words of Jesus series, it's going to take us a little time. We got feast days coming up, right? So we're going three back to back. It's going to take some time. One more Sunday with this, right? And then we feast days every other service. So it's going to be not until October that we get back on it. So listen, understand, this is take it for yourself. Read it for yourself. Be encouraged by it. This is an exciting time. It's an exciting time to live in. Do you realize that Christ could return in your generation? Do you realize that? He could. He could return in our generation. If he doesn't, there's nothing I can say about that. He just didn't. But he's coming. He's right there. We're right closer than we've ever been. You know, years ago when the Roman Empire was defeated, the Iron Legs, they said, well, it's getting close. Everything was talking about getting close. And then we had the Holocaust, and we have all the modern day things that happened, for World War I, World War II. It's there, it's there. Nothing happened. And in all of our time. But there's never been more of a deception today against the church and every person than it is now. So let's get ready. Let's prepare ourselves. I want to encourage everybody to be preparing yourself for the feast days. Yom Teruah is next. The sounding of the alarm is going to be next. I want you to be prepared for that. Amen? Let's stand together. I want to say to all of you here, I appreciate you for coming today. I hope that there was something else that you've learned, that you picked up on. You just want to go back and look at it for yourself. Please do that. Go back and see it for yourself. If you ever have a question, any thoughts, anything, we have Thursday night. We meet in the homes. If you want to participate in that, you go to the homes, and that's a time that questions get brought up. When hopefully we can get to the answer. If not, we'll work hard on it to try to get an answer. I want to encourage everybody, stay true to the Lord. Be excited about what's happening. Listen, you got to know your history. We're not serving, we don't come to church every day just to have something to do. We're talking about an historical event that's going to happen. And we're preparing for that event. We read the history book, it's going to happen. Are we prepared for it? We want to be. Hopefully that's what you're doing. Can I do it without the power of God? You probably won't make it. You got to be empowered. If not, you're going to operate in the spirit of fear. And he said, I didn't give you that. I didn't give you the spirit of fear. I didn't make you timid. I didn't do that. But power, love, and a sound mind, that's what we need. And that's what he's telling in Timothy. He's telling him that. And then in Ephesians, he says, but be strong in the master. If you're going to get strength, you got to be strong in the master, in the power of his might. That word right there is in his dominion. And what's promised to him. Do you think, let me just ask this question before we close. Do you think Yeshua is waiting to take his throne? He's been waiting a long time. He's not on the throne. He's waiting to take his throne. Now, he died to take his throne. And there have been many that died. He's the only one that God raised from the dead. He raised him up. There have been many raised up, people raised from the dead before that, but they died again. Let me tell you, Lazarus, Yeshua called him out of the grave, but he died again. He just gave him more time. Well, Yeshua died. He rose. When God raised him up, he did never see death ever again. Do you understand? There's a difference. And so, do you want to just die to be raised again? And to be, because the Bible talks about a second death. There are going to be some that die. They'll raise up just to be judged. And then they'll die and they'll be forever. But you and I, we trust the word of God. And his word says, you shall be changed. This mortal shall take on immortality and will be changed. That's the hope. So I want you to continue to say, Lord, I want to be led by your spirit. I want you to teach me these things so I can understand it. I want to be challenged by your word every day. And I look forward to the day that you return. Look forward to it. And the reason we don't want to look forward to it, because there's a lot of stuff that we read that there's some trouble. There's going to be trouble every way you look. But for the redeemed, God's people, he's going to protect you through all that trouble. Thank God for that. And you ought to be thankful how good he is to us. So I want you to be in prayer about that. Next few weeks, the feast days, Lord, I want to be prepared for that. I want my heart to be right when we realize that you're coming soon. The trumpet's going to blow. I want that. And if you pray and ask the Lord, tell him to lead you by his spirit, he'll do it. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to ask him, and he'll do it. We're going to go forth in the power of the master, the power that he gives, that dominion that he stands in. And we're thankful for that. Father, we thank you, Lord, for everyone here.